business to just make it look pretty, to be quite frank. So mm-hmm. how do you kind of maneuver those different personalities, and how do you move people along to give you the freedom, I guess, to actually create that strategy?
Yeah. So I actually created a whole framework and program that I call the Confident Marketer Playbook. And there's basically 9 steps. I have found that most people want to start at step 8, which is execute. But they're, you know, most of the time, the reason that the executives kind of come in and oversee things and micromanage is because the first 7 steps were skipped.
Business Storytelling Show with Christoph Trapp. Name a top 20 storytelling podcast and a top 5% podcast globally, Christoph chats with thought leaders and experts to share tips and tricks that can help you tell your company's stories better to drive business results. Available wherever you listen to podcasts, live streamed on major social media channels, and part of the DB&A television network, available on most U.S. television sets and streaming on Roku and Amazon Fire. Here's Christoph with today's episode. Let's go.
Let's go, business storytellers. How's everyone doing? Thanks for joining me. Today, we want to talk about how do we become more of a confident marketer? And this is a super interesting topic to me because at the end of the day, we want to be confident, but we don't want to be jerks, right? We want to stand out there. We want to make a difference. And by the author, I'm trying to pull it up here for you. There's so much going on my computer today. The author of Standout Marketing. You can check that out right there. Scan the code if you want to get that from Amazon right now. It is available. Stacey Danheiser, she wrote the book. She also came up with the concept of how do you become a more confident marketer? So I want to find out, why is that actually important? Why should we do that? And how do we become more confident while we're staying on the right side of knowing it all, so to speak? Welcome to the show, Stacey.
Yes, thank you for having me here.
Well, I'm really glad we connected, I think, on Twitter. It's been a while, so always happy to get the Twitter community on here. But tell us, first of all, how did you even come up with the whole concept of the confident marketing leader? Why is that top of mind? Why is that important? And how did you come up with that concept?
Yes. So let me give you a little bit of backstory. I actually came from a corporate marketing background, and I have been in consulting for the past several years. And I started to notice a trend that I have seen with both marketing professionals as well as executives. And that is, you know, with all of this new technology and all of these new channels that are constantly bombarding us, the confidence levels have gone down in marketing professionals. And subsequently, they've also gone down in CEOs. That's the number one thing that you can kind of point to with C-suite tenure. CMOs have the shortest tenure of any C-level executive. And one of the constant things on everybody's mind is, you know, I don't really have confidence in my marketing team. I don't really trust them. And then flip side, when I talk to marketing professionals, I hear the same thing. I just wish I had more confidence. I wish I could show up and get a seat at that leadership table and really represent, you know, my value and what I know. But often I'm not even invited into those discussions. And so it's something that, because I've been on the other side of this and worked in corporate for so long, that I wanted to really start to tackle and solve and help marketers earn their confidence back to you know, earn and keep that seat at the leadership table.
You know, it's interesting to me, of course, we talk about confidence. I mean, it's a certain level of trust, right? How do we trust something? How long does it take? And I mean, that's probably one of my favorite topics when it comes to content marketing, especially. We know it works. We all have made it work. But yet, when content marketing or content strategy, they go after 2 weeks, why is it not working? Same with podcasting, right? I mean, podcasts out there launch 15 episodes. I think that's average for a lot of shows. And then they quit and they say, oh, look, it didn't work. And here we are, I don't remember what the number was, 583-4 episodes in, and certainly it's working, but it didn't work on episode 5, episode number 1. Mm-hmm. do we get getting that kind of up and built?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of different ways we can take this conversation, but I like to basically say there's really kind of three areas to look at. So the first is around knowing your role. And what I have found is that marketing jobs have changed. A lot of responsibilities, frankly, have been taken away from marketing. And so if you ask your CEO or your head of sales or your product team, you know, what do you think the job of marketing is? And we did this research as part of the research for Standout Marketing. And we would hear different things from business leaders and non-marketing executives, which is, you know, marketing's responsible for the brand. Marketing's responsible for setting the marketing strategy. Marketing's responsible for sales enablement. Marketing's responsible for demand generation and getting leads. But there's an underlying piece, I think, that you've got to really know what your skill set is and what you believe kind of is the role that you were brought on to do, and verify that is accurate. And so there's, you know, I simply sort of describe it as the job of marketing is to help connect the dots from what the customer cares about and needs and values over to what the company sells. And so we really, marketing becomes that bridge. And there's a lot of steps that you have to be confident in to be able to build that bridge. And oftentimes what I see is that, you know, marketing professionals are hired. There's a job description that was cobbled together. Probably somebody went to Google and typed in, you know, VP of marketing, and copy pasted a bunch of different job descriptions into one. And really that it's not representative of how the company views marketing to begin with. And so I always like to start there is, you know, what does the company believe the role of marketing is, and how does that line up philosophically with what you believe your role is? And so that you can kind of be on the same playing field right out of the gate. And I think that's just a unique situation for marketers in particular that you don't really find with other professionals.
You know, so
that's step one. We can move. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Let's go to step two in a second. I didn't realize there was more steps. I should have, but let's get to step two in a second here. The one thing I do want to mention really quickly, when I just heard you mention that, voxpubme.com, my day job, check that out, try video research today. And basically what I heard you say is, and this I think is what makes it more complicated, right? You have to understand your customers, because good luck creating any kind of content, any kind of campaign, anything that anybody will care about if you don't even understand them. Right. And I think one of my favorite examples when it comes to that is back in the day when I was expected to create a campaign and strategy around OBGYN content. Well, guess what? I don't have any experience in that topic at all, other than looking from the outside in, so to speak. But I mean, that's a bad one, right? You know what I mean? Like, I really had to learn what people even care about in that and really get. So how do you even a while?
Oh, Christoph, you're frozen.
Well, it started right about how you know what our customers are like. I mean, it's not just you can't just jump in and say, here's our marketing strategy, we're up and running.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that actually is my step two. So step one was knowing what your role is as a marketing professional, and knowing that there's different skill sets required to be, you know, in that marketing strategy seat. And what does really good look like for that? The second piece is what I call knowing your customer, and what that's what you're talking about. So I think the challenge with this one in particular is that marketers are hired and they're expected to be an expert in the customer. And unless you've grown up in the industry, or you know, you're married to somebody who's in the industry, or you read that industry for fun, chances are there's gonna be a learning curve to understand what's happening. And so, you know, marketers really hear, how do you gain confidence in knowing your customer? And it's about starting small, doing research, and learning about what's happening in your company's industry, reading about what's happening in your customers' industries, And then gaining enough perspective to then go start formulating some of your own hypotheses or questions. And so, you know, I've personally gone into companies where they'll bring me in to do customer research. And that's a great way for marketing to spearhead and lead that initiative, because they can gain credibility internally and alignment by saying, you know, we think we have a general idea of what our customers want, but we're going to actually stage some formal research and invest in that because we want to validate whether or not our assumptions are correct. So that's one way to do it, is to budget for formal research. Often I see a lot of advice on LinkedIn, for example, that says, you know, just go talk to customers. And I don't really advise that unless you are a skilled interviewer, because there is a skill set required to gain insights and ask the right questions of your customers. And so this is something you can learn for sure. There's different training courses, and I can make a few recommendations on how to do that. But it's not something you're probably going to get access to a whole suite of customers to start interviewing them on, you know, day one of your job. You really have to start demonstrating some knowledge of the industry and your competitors and just what's happening sort of in that big picture landscape before you will get the introduction into talking directly with customers. So the other ways, I think, for marketers, easily, you know, of course there's Google searching, there's associations and analyst firms that are specific to each industry, but also joining communities. And you can have some more off the cuff dialogue and get opinions and see what questions people are asking. And so this is a great way, you know, especially if you are a marketer, you know, your OBGYN example, like, that's not something that you're going to just pick up and learn. You have to go proactively figure out how you can meet people that are experiencing those challenges, and that those are, you know, within your target audience. So communities can be a great way to do that and get access to people. And then finally, events. So, you know, a lot of marketers are invited to trade shows or to, you know, workshops or webinars or other events where they actually have access directly to customers, but it's a matter of preparing a few questions that you would want to know ahead of time so that you show up and you can have a smart dialogue with a potential customer or a current customer, and not start talking about things like the food being served at the event. So those are ways to start becoming more confident about who you're serving.
You know, and certainly I always like the reminder that there is a learning curve. And the one book I would recommend, I wasn't able to pull it up here, unfortunately, quickly enough, is The Mom Test. He taught Robert Patrick about questions. Stacey, how do you set up on my podcast? It's hard pressed to say, oh, I hate it, especially when we're on air, right? I have to ask you something, you know, a little bit more. I don't know, but not so direct, right? Like, how do you like to watch podcasts today? How do you listen to podcasts today? Do you listen to the radio? What do you like on the radio? You know, things. So I think that's definitely a skill. Now, some of these things you're talking about, some I can't control as a marketer, but some I can, right? I'm probably not going to change the CEO's opinion on certain things, or the board, or whomever. How do you kind of figure out what is the right company to work in, I guess? I mean, that's one thing I like to talk about, and is marketing a good career? But how do you know that you're in the right environment?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think one of the, you know, I would say most underrated skills of a marketer is the ability to collaborate and get buy-in. And there is a bit of a, you know, what I call internal marketing. There needs to be a focus on internal marketing just as much as effort you put into external marketing. And what I hear from a lot of C-suite executives today is, my marketing team is really great at executing. They're great project managers. They can get a lot of stuff done, but they don't come up with their own strategies. They don't come up with their own ideas. And it causes a bit of tension, because the CEO does not really want to run marketing. They want somebody to do that for them, and they want a team of people that are comfortable doing that. So, you know, one way is to start building relationships outside of marketing. And I would say if you haven't done that yet and you're already kind of questioning the culture that you're working in, or maybe if it's a good fit, I would say before you make any, you know, harsh decisions, start going outside of marketing and see what happens. Do you have relationships with the product team, for example, or with your finance team or with the sales team? And so this is something that I always advise to get smarter about the business, because at the end of the day, the CFO typically is the one that has the ear of the CEO the most. And really, you know, finance is not my background. I studied marketing. And so, but this is something I learned early on that I needed to go build a relationship and be able to speak business. And so I would sit down with our finance director and have them walk me through, you know, how are they measuring the business? What are the things, what are the most important metrics that we need to consider so that I'm speaking the same language? I'm talking about, you know, one company, for example, that I worked in, it was all about, they looked at both sales in the, there was the pipeline, of course, then sales. And then because we had an installation period, then revenue came later, you know, 12 months later in some cases. And so those were three different areas that then I learned how to present my marketing through that lens. Same thing with the product team, really understanding the product roadmap, really understanding what challenges the product team might be having, and kind of getting more of a holistic view. Customer success is another great one, because they are the front lines on the other side of the value equation. You know, you have salespeople on the front end, which are promising value to customers. And then you have customer success people all the way at the other end that are there to implement and deliver the value that was just being sold and promised. And so they'll often have a different view kind of in that whole value equation. And as a marketer, I was always, you know, fascinated and wanted to understand kind of that whole customer life cycle. And I think, you know, that's really the piece of marketing that is missing today. A lot of, you know, 90% of budgets are aimed at the sort of top of funnel and creating awareness and getting new customer acquisition. And then they kind of are ignoring the whole other part of the equation. But when marketing kind of take a step back and look bigger picture, then I think that that's a good, you know, will help you figure out, like, are you in the right spot? So again, you know, is this a good career fit for you? I go back to the first question, which was, you know, what are your strengths? Do you have kind of self-awareness about the skill set required to be a great marketer? And standout marketing, we go through five core competencies that are required for modern marketing teams. Now, we say teams because it's very unlikely that one person has all five of these competencies. So if you're a marketing team of one, what does that mean? That means that you need to know what your area of expertise and your superpower is, but then you are going to be bringing in freelancers or agencies or outsource, you know, help for the other pieces of the puzzle so that you can round out that marketing engine, because that really is the expectation from the C-suite.
And please remember that if you are a one-person team and you do have freelancers, managing freelance work takes time too. It's kind of like, you know, when I started an intern program before, Stacy, and I think intern programs are fantastic for the future and even today, right? Because you get some new ideas, you get new blood in, and, you know, they're there for a little while, but it takes time. And so does managing freelancers. So I'm just saying, if you have a lot of freelancers and it's just you, that could literally be your full-time job. Is Marketing a Good Career? That's my new book, came out earlier this year. If you want to take a look at that, I wanted to circle back on the one thing you mentioned. Some executives, they say, well, marketing doesn't come up with their own ideas or their own strategy. And when you said that, my first flashback was when an executive said, and then here came the requirements. I've been on here before, and I said before that I think some guardrails are fantastic, because you know what? If you need content for a little box on a website, doesn't do you good if I'm going to write you a novel, right? But at the end of the day, some of those requirements, some of those boundaries were so narrow, they weren't really asking for an idea. What they were asking is to just make it look pretty, to be quite frank. So mm-hmm. How do you kind of maneuver those different personalities, and how do you move people along to give you the freedom, I guess, to actually create that strategy?
Yeah. So I actually created a whole framework and program that I call the Confident Marketer Playbook. And there's basically 9 steps. I have found that most people want to start at step 8, which is execute. But they're, you know, most of the time, the reason that the executives kind of come in and oversee things and micromanage is because the first 7 steps were skipped. And so it's really basic strategy things like, you know, customer segmentation, account targeting and ideal customer profile, getting alignment and agreement every single step of the way makes the executive extremely confident that there is a plan and that you've mapped out a vision, a marketing vision. And so then you get more freedom to execute those things and frankly, to be able to say no, because that's part of what strategy really is, right? Is being able to look at something and declaring that you're going one direction and not the other. And that's really what executives need is in terms of the guardrails. Remember, we're going this way. We're not veering off the path, and to be constantly reminded of that. And when you own that marketing vision, and you are setting the milestones. So you get to declare, here's the things that we're going to measure. Here's what we're going to look at to make sure that we are all on progress and we're on the same trail. And reminding everybody that this is the path that we're on, instead of, you know, what a lot of leaders do is just that bright, shiny object of what, you know, new tactic or new piece of content that needs to be created. And so keeping everybody in a lane.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I'm in agreement with that. But the one thing that I really, really find hard to do. Can you hear me?
Yes, it's kind of crackling a little bit, but.
Ugh. Frustrating. Any bars here, Mike? That's live TV for you. So I do agree with that. But what's interesting to me is there's always opportunity somewhere. And if you're too in your lanes, you can miss the opportunity. So maybe, you know, in a minute here, give me your thoughts on that, on how do you stay in your lane, but just look over, maybe that's the right way to put that, look over enough to catch opportunity. Because I'll tell you one thing, when it comes to different content types, they work when you do them well. And I don't think you have to chase the squirrel, but you also can't overdo it, right? So how do you find that right balance?
Yeah, I think you know, my approach has always been integrated marketing, so that it's not really, it's more about taking it holistically. What are we trying to achieve? And then what is this overarching message that we want to share with the market? Great. Now let's go figure out the tactics and the channels to go do that. And there's a million different ideas and combinations of creativity. So I always advise, you know, bake about 80% of your plan and leave 20% that's wiggle room. So you have the budget and the freedom to go do experimentation and do things like, great, there's this new AI tool that I want to go check out. Or, you know, 2020 when COVID happened, I mean, all of those marketing plans that were created got thrown out the window, you know, 2 months into the year. And so it's being able to be agile enough. And if you know your target audience, you know what your goals are and you're trying to, what you're trying to achieve, the tactics piece is always secondary. As to how you're going to execute that, but it's making sure, do we still agree that, is this still the goal? Is this still what we're aiming to do? And then making sure to set, I think, proper expectations as well, going back to your point that consistency is key and you're not going to see, you know, immediate revenue increase 1 month into a new project. But I think a lot of marketers maybe fail to set milestones and to set proper expectations internally that you're not going to see revenue in 1 month, but here's how we'll know that this thing is working. We're going to be looking at, you know, how many people are tuning in and is that increasing? We're going to be looking at how many people share this and is that increasing, right? And showing what some of those milestones are that the business should be looking at before they can make the decision to pull the plug or not.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to to think about how do you make and how do you keep your eyes open for different opportunities and, you know, and plugging along for the things you have to do today. Certainly at the end of the day, marketing does work. So we can stop saying it doesn't work. It doesn't work if you don't do it correctly, if you don't have the right people, if you don't have the right teams. You know, there's plenty of reasons why it might not work, but it's not because marketing in general doesn't work. Stacey, really appreciate you coming on the show. In the last 45 seconds or so, tell us, who should reach out to you? Who do you with? Who's your perfect client? And that.
Yes. So I work with B2B marketing leaders who want to take their career to the next level or who are frustrated with their current situation and want to, you know, earn and keep a seat at that leadership table. So I'm very active on LinkedIn. So please connect with me there. I've also created a free scorecard called the Confident Marketer Scorecard that's on my website that you can take that helps to just start illuminate some of the areas that are strengths for you and where you might have gaps and opportunities as to where to focus to take this to the next level. And it's based on years of working with Fortune 500 companies. And I primarily work with, you know, B2B scaling organizations today to bring that, you know, sophistication of marketing and how to stop what I call the random acts of marketing and be more strategic. So if that sounds interesting and you want to get out of that order taking mode and, you know, hair on fire marketing, then that's really the ideal client and situation that I work in.
That's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review our show on your favorite podcast channels. And don't forget to share this episode with your networks. We appreciate you. Until next time, let the best stories win.